Got it. All righty, here we go. All right. The Tom and Curly Show with Tom off on a Friday. I see a bit of a pattern developing here. Sherry steps in. Thank you, Sherry. I don't know what you normally do on a Friday, but I'm glad you've been able to put all of that on hold. We can just assume it's exciting.
Very exciting. But not as exciting as this.
Two dogs and a husband.
Yeah.
That's right. Two dogs and a husband. They got hit by a car a couple of months ago. How's he doing?
He's doing great. He's actually on a little road trip. His friend has an RV, and they were driving it across country, so he went along for the ride, and he's having a fine time.
Wow. Wow. Sounds like torture. Diving in! Honestly, if you had to write all those words down and place them out on a sentence and then have to read them out loud again, has a friend who's going on a cross-country road trip in an RV, and he's going along just for what?
Well, I don't know if he's helping driving or if he's just going along for the ride. But this RV, this thing is unbelievable. It's not this little, camper.
Well,
huge.
You must be a hell of a person to have to live with. I'll just put it that way. That anybody, honey, I'm leaving. I'll be gone. I'm going to get into an RV and drive across the country. But don't take it personally. By the way, Jacob, people at home shouldn't hear this. My computer went down again, Jacob. I don't want anybody to know that, but I can't play any sound. So I just thought I'd let you know, just two of us on the down low, okay?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. No one's listening. That's okay.
Okay. The fact that the Time magazine comes out in defense of Joe Biden, President Biden, with ageist attacks against President Biden reinforce outdated stereotypes and actually hurt younger people. The fact that they have come to his defense, and I looked at Trump. I typed into the Googleating machine Trump age 2017 because I didn't want to do Trump age, and because then they compare him to Biden. But you look at the number of stories they're questioning: is Trump too old, and why is his voice doing this, and he's slipping and missing words and mispronouncing this word and that word, and there's all sorts of people weighing in the fact that maybe he's beginning to lose it. We could start to look closer at the 25th Amendment, which would say that the president is unable to fulfill his duties of office because he's either physically or mentally incapacitated. And talk was early about President Trump and his age. And this is Time coming out saying, hold on, everybody. Let's not just start to, discount senior people. They're just as valuable, and you can't judge somebody by their age. What sound did you gather from this, Jacob, that I'm supposed to play that I can't because my computer sucks?
We do have an example that they mentioned in the Time magazine piece from SNL of Michael Che making a joke about Biden's age. Here's one.
Biden gave his first press conference, which lasted over an hour. Wow, shout out to Fixit-It. At the conference... At the conference, President Biden was asked if he plans to run for re-election in 2024, which is probably the nicest way to ask him if he plans on being alive in 3 years.
All right. Two good age jokes.
Yeah, that's
the
good.
America has never really, I don't know, in the last 40 years, ever since, actually later than that, it was Madison Avenue who invented the word teenager. There was no term for it, and they wanted to come up with, well, we want to start marketing to kids between the ages of 13 and 19, right in that age. So they came up with the Madison Avenue, invented the term teenager. And then once you start to realize, hey, we can sell a lot of stuff to a lot of young people, and then we can sell a lot of stuff to a lot of older people that want to look younger or be younger. So I don't know if you've ever seen anybody over the age of 40 in an under 21 clothing store. It's the saddest thing next to watching your husband drive cross country in an RV with someone he barely knows. But for Joe Biden at his age of 78, what did you take away from the Time magazine piece, Sherry?
Well, what they're talking about here is about ageism in general and how COVID has actually made ageism even more prevalent because we think of people as being frail because so many old people died from COVID that it reinforced a lot of these stereotypes that people aren't healthy. They're frail. They really can't survive illnesses. And so it's basically talking about not underestimating people as they get older, because there's really nothing to suggest that cognitively all people really decline. That, yes, there are cases of Alzheimer's and dementia, but they've been in not as many in the past however many years. And I thought this was interesting. It said, it's the only stereotype where everyone starts as an outsider and then as you get older becomes self-relevant. So in other words, everybody thinks somebody else is old until they get old. You know, it's yes. A way for them to feel better about themselves, I guess.
Yeah,
I thought it was interesting. I mean, I think a lot there is a lot of ageism in this country. People can make fun of old people and get away with it.
Yeah, but do old people care?
I don't know. I mean, I guess they make fun of themselves too.
Yeah. I think if you start to discriminate against somebody and stop somebody from, you know, enjoying their life in some big way, but most old people I know, they're normally the first to bring it up. Like, you know, don't ask me. Hell, I don't know. You know, they're always the ones that are just, they've always first to make fun of themselves of a certain age that they are and sort of the acceptance of that age.
They'll be like, I'm 90 years old, leave me alone. Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, well, I'm allowed to, I'm old. Like my dad used to say, Dad, are you going to wear that out in public? What do I care? Seriously, what do I care? And I'm like, I know, but the rest of us, gee whiz. He's like, hey, listen, Michael, I don't care anymore. I'm at the age where I don't need to care. And what he did, he used to have, he took this blood thinning medicine, which then it would make his cuts, if he got on his hand or whatever, would not coagulate quite as quickly. So he was constantly have little cuts and nicks and things like that. And he was always bleeding profusely, like he had been attacked by a cougar or something. And there's blood like on his shirt and on his pants. And all. I'm like, Dad, your shirt, you're bleeding on. What? Hey, Michael, what do I care? I said, I know you don't care, Dad, but people will find it revolting that there's blood pouring out of your hand and you're wiping it on your shirt. I mean, like he had been shot, and people were like in the supermarket, sir, do you need to sit down? Hey, what do I care? I'm at the age I don't care. So I get most people end up sort of accepting that it goes along with being old. If you are the president and you're thinking about possibly jamming more people onto the Supreme Court, more old people, or any age that regard, there is some talk as to whether or not former President Barack Obama would actually join the Supreme Court. Would he be one? This is a piece from MSN looking at whether or not Biden plans on, he's got a commission together. That's get people to study something. So they're going to study it first to extend the Supreme Court out to get out to, I guess, 13 or I don't know how many more judges they'd want to have on there in order to be able to get more liberals as opposed to conservatives. So the first step towards this is the commission to look into Supreme Court packing, as it's known.
Right, exactly. They have 180 days to produce this report. And it's a bipartisan commission. It's a committee. They're going to study the structural changes to the Supreme Court. But I want to read you something, yes. And I want you to guess who said this, okay? This is about court packing. 9 seems to be a good number. It's been that way for a long time. I think it was a bad idea when Franklin Roosevelt tried to pack the court. What liberal justice said that?
Ginsburg.
Yes. Yes. She even thought it was a terrible idea.
Yeah. It was Roosevelt that wanted to, first of all, Roosevelt tried to say they're too old. So he kind of wanted to have backup people in there when he got to a certain age. Plus, he also had a few things that he wanted to get in place and it got rejected. And Roosevelt got mad that it got kicked out. So then he said, let's add more to it. And everybody said, no, we're not. We're sticking with it. I think that the Supreme Court, I think the Constitution is silent on how many judges need to be on the Supreme Court. But I guess if you don't like the fact that it's now 5-4 or however it's tilting one way or the other with conservatives and liberals, you want to get some more on there. I told the story once on the air that we were watching American Idol, and it was down to the final 24 contestants. And my kids were young, and I said, can you name all 24? They're like, oh, yeah. And with that, they named all 24 contestants on American Idol. Wow. I was shocked. And I said, I'll tell you what we're doing next week, guys, before we go to watch this again. We're going to learn every single member of the Supreme Court. And you're going to memorize them, and you're going to have their names down. And if you can't do them, you can't name them, then we're not watching American Idol.
Aww.
So what I would do is, excuse me?
Well, that's kind of a party pooper, but go on.
This is great. So I'd put them on my shoulders. They were young at the time. And I would march. I would dance them around the house. I'd put them on my shoulders, and I would gallop like a horse. Breyer, Souter, Kennedy, Stevens, Ginsburg, Myers. And I'd march all around the room, and then they'd have to sing it, too, going all around the room. And then they got it. And then American Idol would come on, and I'd say, okay, quick, before it starts. And then, Breyer, Souter, Kennedy, Stevens. And you go all around the thing, and then we'd sit down and watch American Idol.
How many
other people?
There's
like 7 billion people. 7 billion people in the world. How many others were doing that just while American Idol was about to start?
I don't think any, but I think it's great that you taught them something, and I love that you tied it to American Idol, so it was a fun thing with kind of a not fun thing.
Right, and then some of those guys started dropping off the court that we had to redo it again. But the good news is that they just have a commission in place to look into this. I think it'd be a terrible idea because then you can go, oh, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do 13, and then when the Republicans take over, they say, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to add 3 more. And then eventually, exponentially, it just keeps going and going until half the court is actually made up of Elvis impersonators because you'll run out of additional people, but they'll always be at least – 6 Elvis impersonators would be on the court. The court could be as many as 10,000 judges, right?
There's no limit. Chuck Schumer wants 13, and there's this place called Demand Justice. They want Justice Breyer to retire so Biden can nominate the first ever black woman. So they're encouraging him to retire. They think that's the responsible thing for him to do so there can be more diversity on the court.
Right. Because overall, as I think it was Sotomayor said, a wise Latino woman would know better than a white guy, which at that point should have disqualified her from being on the court. But that doesn't matter. The fact that Jacob has found this story, he's most excited about this one and wanted to share with everybody. It's funny. We do a pre-show meeting at 1:00 and you can tell the excitement of his voice goes up just a little bit when he comes across a story he finds fascinating. And here it is. Sherry, why is the truck in front of you as you're driving? Why are the doors quilted?
Well, those diamond patterns on the stainless steel doors have a very specific reason. Okay, they're optional, first of all. Not everybody has to have them, but it keeps the glare from reflecting backwards. So it's a courtesy to the driver that's following the truck.
Hmm. And when you came across that, why did you have such a eureka moment, Jacob? Was it because you've always seen the truck in front of you and you wondered why are they quilted, and then all of a sudden it hits you?
It's even stranger than that. I never even thought to question why the backs of trucks are so often quilted. And I don't know why the fact that there was a reason behind. I guess, so I will say, there's this podcast called 99% Invisible. And the premise of the show is that it's about design or design work. And the idea is that 99% of the objects that we interact with have a design element as that is a part of them, but we don't notice, and they're designed to not necessarily be noticed. And so much of design is creating things that no one will ever recognize. And so this very much felt like that type of idea to me, that there's these things that are serving this purpose, but we ultimately might not ever even recognize that they're doing that thing.
And it's quilted. Thanks, Jacob. I can't even realize it. Is it quilted in material or is it quilted just in metal? Is it metal?
It's in
shaped?
Metal. It's like a diamond pattern. So it's not really quilted like a comforter. It's.
I got. It. I was gonna say.
Just in case you haven't been out on the road in a while and don't know what I'm talking about and think that there's some big blanket attached to the end of trucks. No,
which would honestly do an even better job of
reflecting the light.
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah.
Yes, I know there's different types of quilting too. There's like the styles of quilting. I feel a huge affinity, I don't know why, to truck drivers. That I like to wave at them. I like to, when I go by them, I like to do the thing that they do with each other, which is, so one truck's going along in the right-hand lane, the other one goes out in the left and then goes ahead and then pulls in front of, right, goes around, and then he or she will turn their lights on and off, which is a way of saying thank you. Did you know that? Anybody?
You mean,
who's with me? Anyone?
No, I didn't know that. And so what you say, you like to do this. So what are you mimicking?
I do that.
What are you doing? Okay.
Them. I mimic that. So if I go around the truck to the left and then pass the truck on the left-hand side, and then I pull in front of the truck, and the truck's behind, we're going like 75 or 80 or whatever, I'll turn my lights on and off. My taillights go on and off as a way of saying thank you. And it's a way of being like, look at this. I'm not in a truck, but I speak truck. See?
Right.
See how that is? It's kind of like, hey, I'm...
I'm with you. I'm one of you.
I'm with you. Like, if we were to stop off at the truck stop, I could join you guys.
You need, like,
around.
A CB radio.
And then you wave your quilt out the window in solidarity. Is that...
Yeah.
Yes. Breaker 19, 10A26, Breaker 19, Breaker. 10A26. Does anybody know what that is? Anybody?
No.
Anyone?
No.
Anyone?
No.
Is my quilt wet? Is my quilt wet?
Stop.
All right. Tracy Taylor. Neil Mortgage. Yes. With those mortgage rates being historically low, you've got to get in touch with Keel Mortgage, Laura Keel. And everybody there wants to help you with your mortgage or refinancing. That's the way to go. 1-888-778-KIEL, Keo Mortgage. You write to us at mynorthwest.com. You text as well. Come on in through the state roofing text line at 98973. Okay, all of that. Again, Sherry, thank you very much for stepping in. I can always tell when Sherry has been sort of whispering in Jacob's ear with, oh, here's a story. Oh, here's another one. And they all fall under the category of sexually frustrated a woman living in Northern Virginia. Every single one of these stories throughout the next 3 hours is like, yeah, that's sort of titillating. I think we should talk about that. I'm sure you need to see a doctor. Here's one right here. Love contracts that make requirements on sex and weight and cheating are increasingly common now, according to experts named Sherry.
Right.
And this has got your fingerprints all over it, right?
Yeah. I think it's really interesting. So,
okay.
Everybody knows what a prenup is, right? A prenup is generally about finances. So you kind of settle, you know, in the beginning, this is going to be mine if we divorce. This is going to be yours. Everybody gets along. This is called something called a love contract, or a lifestyle clause is what they're calling this. And this is everything from infidelity to weight requirements to the frequency of sex. These are all things that you can put into these love contracts, not only if you get married, but even if you're cohabitating. So according to these experts, this is becoming more and more common. And what I found interesting about this was there are so many celebrities that have these contracts. For instance, Catherine Zeta-Jones gets $5 million plus $2.8 million per year if she and if Michael Douglas cheats on her because he's a known sex addict.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I thought
five
that's a
million,
lot of money.
$5 million. That is a lot. Now, is it per infidelity, or is it just, could he batch them up and then pay the $5 million?
No, it's one infidelity, and then she gets a $5 million bonus. And if they get divorced because of that, then she gets $2.8 million for every year they've been married.
Okay.
Pretty good haul. Right. I mean, not bad.
I know. I think the whole prenup thing and then writing that down there, the two people, it's just, she sort of put it down there and then and like signing up for a rental car at Dollar Rental. Okay, I just need your initials here, and you just sign here saying $5 million if you cheat on her, right? So then who else is in there? Is the woman from Three's Company that apparently has sex with her husband like four times a day, the one with the thigh master, do they have her list in there?
No, Suzanne Summers. No. But
yes.
Keith Urban,
okay.
If he uses drugs, then he gets nothing from Nicole Kidman. Nothing. Apparently, she's got a lot more money than he does, because that's part of their thing. And I thought this one was weird. Priscilla Chan, who's married to Mark Zuckerberg, she requires in her love contract one night a week that he has to give her, plus 100 hours of quality time every week. Because he's so busy.
Wait.
He's such an important man.
She gets 100 hours of him a week?
Quality time, yes. That's what she wants.
Okay.
Would you want 100 hours of quality time with Mark Zuckerberg? I think not.
What is quality time?
There you go.
I won't tell you who it is because I don't want to get – can we get slandered and libeled? Don't we need to have at least 50 listeners for something like that, Jacob? What's the rule on that?
I don't know. I don't think it matters how many people. Yeah.
All right. A friend of mine used to fly seaplanes, had two very rich people in the plane, and they were flying along, and as they're flying here around the Northwest, and I mean very, very rich people, like super duper rich people, if you can imagine who that might be. And my friend thought that there was an engine fire because the smell of sulfur burning wires. And so it's an old plane, it's a De Havilland Beaver, and he's smelling underneath the control panel. He's like leaning in towards the thing while they're flying, and the plane's going along, and he's trying to figure out what it is. And then he realizes, oh, I see. It's coming from the mouth of the man sitting behind me. The breath was so bad that then he had to open the door while flying at 3,000 feet and put his foot in the door to open the door to air out the plane. And
from
all he kept thinking was, yes. And then he looked back, and the man with the halitosis, his wife, is leaning in closely to listen to him. So she must be less than 6 inches from the offensive odor. So bad that it smelled like an engine fire on a De Havilland Beaver seaplane. So, and I kept thinking, now you should put that in a prenup of some sort that, you know.
Yeah.
Bad breath, there's an extra $50 million or something like that. Is there anything in there? Because I've known people that have made contracts, I don't think they've written it down, where they want to have nookie every single day.
Yeah, there are people out there. There's not the halitosis clause. I haven't seen that yet. But
okay.
Sure, people are, the one guy said that he would keep his weight down, and if he didn't keep his weight down and couldn't fulfill his wife's sexual needs, then she was allowed to have sex with anybody that she wanted to. That was one of the examples. That's how dedicated he was to his fitness program. He's like, I am so convinced that I'm going to keep my weight down that if I don't and I can't fulfill you, have at it.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is love. This just is
I know. Isn't it romantic?
And that's got to be your second story, is that now that COVID is over or lockdowns have started to loosen up a little bit, apparently men and women are looking for really beautiful one-night stands again now that they've been able to have the mask taken away and they could go back out to the bars, wherever else they're going to go. And one other little story that we didn't get to last week was the fact that lesbian bars have now completely gone away. And did you see that story? And when the science behind it is that apps have stopped people from going to bars to pick up one another, right?
Mm-hmm.
That has closed down sort of singles bars because nobody goes to, you know, sit at the bar. Hey, can I buy you a drink? You know, they now go to meet somebody and leave the bar. They said lesbians tended to not congregate bars the same way men did. Gay bars, the old joke is, what's a lesbian take on a second date? You know what the answer is?
No.
A U-Haul. And then the joke about gay men was, what does a gay man take on a second date? The punchline is, what second date? So the
these are not stereotypes at all, but go ahead.
I'm sorry, jokes are based upon stereotypes, right?
Okay, go ahead.
That's it. Those are the two. That's all you get. So the idea is
all
that
right.
They said, where have all the lesbian bars gone? They said, well, they've gone because that wasn't part of the social style of how lesbians wanted to meet, how they wanted to have relationships. So most of the bars that were out there at some point have all sort of gone away. And they thought that COVID was the thing that also just finished off all of them. So, anyway.
Well, this article... It says that they're predicting a wave of debauchery. That was what it said. So that's okay. Who knows what's going to happen.
Now, if that one husband gains 7 or 8 pounds, puts on some love handles, look out. That right. Wife is going to be all over the place.
That's yeah. not true. Come on.
Hey, whoa there, Miss Tracy Taylor. I wrote to Sean as soon as Sherry launched into this story. I thought, let's get Tracy on. I wanted to listen to her to have somebody that might have a more sort of balanced libido. But I don't know if you had heard the whole segment. So
I heard enough to where everything is good in our household. And my husband okay. actually lost weight where I gained weight during this whole thing. So, and he still okay. thinks so I'm beautiful and sexy. So.
We all do.
That's nice. But good.
We all do. That's not true. But okay, thank
Human
you.
Human resources. Go ahead.
He's all that matters, Tracy.
All righty, here we go. You're writing to us, and that's good and good for you. 9 out of 10 dentists recommend that you do write to the Tom and Curly Show. You write to us at MyNorthWest.com or come on in through that state roofing text line at 98973. A sad story for the people that knew and loved the man that had such high hopes when he went to the Grizzly game. Did he think that he would that would be his last baseball game plus his last taco? What do you think, Sherry?
I don't know. It's such a sad story. But he okay. wanted to go out eating tacos, I think, because he went to a baseball game, a minor league baseball game, and decided to join a taco eating contest. And the rest is not good news.
He dies in 2019. The family sues the organizer of the event. Marshall Hutchins was 18 years old, and apparently that his father, Daniel Hutchins, 41, was not made aware. Oh, the 41-year-old Daniel Hutchins was not made aware of the risks and dangers involved of eating in the competition. I don't know what they sort of needed. They needed to also tell him, but he choked on the tacos. So they were out. Must have been hard tacos, not soft shell tacos.
Right.
And how much do they want for the loss of their father, I guess?
They haven't mentioned how much they want in terms of damages. But what they're saying is that these, you know, everybody's seen these professional eating contests, right? You've seen the hot dog eating ones and all of that. Apparently, these professionals really train. They know the risks. They know how to do it. This is a complete amateur contest. So the guy, according to the son, they should have let the father know the risks involved of eating all these tacos, or at least that he could have choked on them. They're saying that he wasn't informed. Not only that, but everybody was drinking, and it could have been even, I guess, more difficult to consume the tacos if he had been, you know, impaired. So they're suing right now. They said they failed to inform him of the risks, and they're going to fight this lawsuit, I guess. But that's really sad. But I think all those eating contests are gross. I mean, I can't even watch them. I think they're really gross.
I could have grossed you out a couple years ago for King 5. We used to do the New Year's or 4th of July celebration at Gasworks, and I needed to fill like 20 minutes after the fireworks. So I was always trying to come up with something to watch for the people, and I came up with a cherry pie eating contest, hands behind your back. I got 5 contestants, just got them out of that big crowd. They'd been out there since 10 in the morning in the sun drinking. They're all sunburned and completely dehydrated, and we lined them up there at 10:30 at night. They all agreed to eat it. And this guy is leaning forward. He has a sweatshirt on, and he's eating the pie. And I've told the story before, but it certainly bears repeating. This is a warning for anybody out there. And while he's eating it, the 2 drawstrings that are on the hoodie of the sweatshirt fall in front of his raptor-like mouth that is consuming the pie. And he's swallowing it in huge gulps, and he actually ends up swallowing both of the drawstrings.
Oh, gross.
So he is eating his own sweatshirt, and as he's swallowing, the drawstrings are growing tighter and tighter around his face.
That's so gross.
And nobody steps in to like just pull it out.
I was too busy saying to one of the cameramen, zoom in on the drawstrings. Because then at that point, he realized it wasn't like the pie had ropes
nuts
in it.
Or something.
He something. He then realizes he has both of those in his throat, so he reaches and pulls them out. And as he pulls them out, it's like a fish going into a boat. He pulls everything out of the, all the contents of his stomach come out as
well. Oh my god! That was live.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh. Oh yeah. That is just wrong.
Sorry, Tracy.